You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's good to see you here this morning. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. And I just want to say big thanks to everybody who came out last Sunday for the chili cook-off for V Youth. Some really, really good chili and some really generous folks. And we had I think they raised over $700 for the upcoming winter retreat that's happening in February. So thank you all so much for helping out with that and coming over and participating. Also, a big turnout for our small group expo. And small groups are just kicking off here at Vineyard Church for the winter quarter. If you haven't signed up for one yet, you can do that. There's a lot of good groups that are happening. I do want to highlight some of our specialty groups that are actually launching this week. We've got divorce care. We also have two grief share classes, small groups that we're going to be hosting. One here at the church. And the other grief share is going to be happening at the Wilson Center Family Y on Tuesdays. And then also our divorce care small group is going to be happening at the Wilson Family Y. So if you've got some friends that you feel like could benefit from that, that might be a little reluctant to come to church for whatever reason, we're going to be hosting it there at the Wilson Y. So check that out. I want us to begin this morning in prayer as we look at this thing of soul priority. So would you join me in praying today? Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, thank you that as we welcome you with our worship, that you come. You inhabit the praise of your people, and we thank you for that. Father, as a church family this morning, we lift up Frank Caneda's family. Lord, we mourn his passing last week, our friend. And a member of our church family, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to bring comfort and peace to his family. Thank you that he is with you and that he is whole, that he is well. Lord, we thank you for that reality, but Lord, we also ask that you would bless his family, strengthen them, let them know the nearness of your love and comfort as they go through the days ahead. Father, we pray for our community, we pray for our country, we pray for this world. Lord, particularly on this weekend that marks the achievements and the life and the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., God, we ask that you would cause us to be people who truly act justly and love mercy and walk humbly before you, God. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your kingdom come against injustice. Let your kingdom come against racism. Let your kingdom come against every faction that would come against the life to the full that you've called all of your creation to. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you for the life that we can know. In Jesus, we thank you for relationship with you. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us through your Spirit-breathed word. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to underscore what Erica mentioned this about tonight. I hope that you'll come and be a part of what's going to be a wonderful extended time of worship and intercession here right in the worship center, and just a really neat ministry time. It's just a great opportunity. So I hope that you will make it a priority. We've maxed out our child care spot, so it's too late to sign up for child care, but bring your kids with you. It's going to be a great worship experience together. As we begin 2018, the challenge is for us to take care of our souls. If you weren't here last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast on last Sunday's message, which kicked off this new message series that we're calling Soul Priority. And in Mark chapter 8 is where we get this from. Jesus is calling his disciples to a deeper level of commitment in following him. A commitment that's going to mean sacrifice. He's doing the works of the kingdom. He's feeding the masses with just a little bit of bread and fish. He's doing miracles, and he's calling his disciples and those who would be his disciples to really recognize the sacrifice and the commitment that he's calling them to and that he calls us to today, particularly when it comes to taking care of our souls. And he puts it this way in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. He says, "What do you benefit If you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, and is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything? There's a choice that we have. What are we going to place the priority of our life, our time, our energy, our resources in? Is it going to be following after the things of the kingdom of this world, or the things of the kingdom of God, which calls us to commit our lives, to commit our souls to Him? And we developed last week this idea of what is a soul? What is our soul? What are we talking about here? And this is really it. It's the basis for our identity. It's the core of our affections, our will, our desire, our emotions, our reason, our understanding, our inner self. And it's God's calling us to give it to Him and to make sure that we are taking good care of this, that we're not just letting it just sort of fend for itself, but we are caring for it by spending time with God in the area of soul care. And then we talked about, what is soul care? The goal of soul care is there are a lot of good explanations, but one that we'll just use this morning is that of spiritual transformation, the process, not an event, but the ongoing process of becoming more and more like Jesus through a daily pursuit of intimacy with Him. Now, when you see that word intimacy, what does that draw up in you? Does that scare you a little bit? Because let's face it, a lot of us are prone to sort of pull away from the call to intimacy, especially guys. A lot of us just really, that word just freaks us out. And we really shy away from it. But that is exactly what God is calling us to in our relationship through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, making the presence of God real and tangible to us as we do this thing called life. We're called to a daily pursuit of intimacy with God. A lot of us are scared of that. We're fearful. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be open and transparent. We got stuff to hide. We've got our secrets. But God is calling us to that level of intimacy with Him. But let's face it, who wants to be intimate with somebody that we are afraid of, if we happen to be afraid of God? Who wants to be intimate with someone that you feel like you always have to be, quote-unquote, on for, or performing at your very best all the time? That's not a place where we feel comfortable being intimate and open if we feel like we're having to constantly perform. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is your picture of God? What is your picture of God as we consider this thing of soul care and as we consider this invitation to intimacy with Jesus Christ? It's really important for us to take an honest look at what is our picture of God. It can be really fun. I know Mary Margaret with Kids Ministry has often will ask, when you think of God, what do you see? These are some fun pictures of God as a superhero, God with big ears who hears all our prayers, and a God who takes care of the world, and then a God who gets angry sometimes and shoots lightning bolts from His hands, you know? I mean, these are not our kids. These are just some kids that shared their views of who God is. So these are fun, but let's face it, guys. What is your picture of God? When you picture God, what comes to mind for you? Is it something that's scary? Is it something of a God who is distant and just waiting for you to mess up so He can send punishment your way? I mean, let's think about this for a second. What is your picture of God? Because your picture of God is going to orient your whole being as to whether or not you're going to be inclined to be open and draw near to this God. I mean, who wants to draw near to somebody that you have to be afraid of and you feel like you always have to perform for and be at your best and, to earn their love and affection that you have to get everything exactly right? That's exhausting. Nobody wants that, but that's not what God's called us to. It's really vitally important that we look at our picture of God, because the way we live is profoundly shaped by our view of God. It's profoundly shaped by that. An unhealthy and a dysfunctional picture of God usually expresses itself in an unhealthy and dysfunctional way of living. It's that simple. When we see God as someone we're having to strive to please day after day after day, guess what? Our life and our behavior is going to follow suit with that. It's going to follow suit trying to be someone who can earn God's love, and that's so messed up. And it's so contrary to the generous heart of our loving Father who gives His love to us unconditionally. William Temple was an Anglican minister and a spiritual leader in England in the early 20th century. And he observed that if people live with a wrong view of God, that they're going to become more religious. We're talking Pharisee religious. He said that the more they have a wrong view of God, the worse the consequences would be. And he went on to say it would actually be better for them to almost be atheist, because they've got such a wrong view of God that an atheist has a wrong view of God. And if you see God as just being someone who is distant and you're having to constantly please, rather than the true picture of a loving, gracious Father that God truly is, you know, to have a wrong view of God, whether you believe He doesn't exist at all or that He does, but you've got to please Him all the time. And so it's about having that right view of God. And each of our hearts, there is either a conscious or a subconscious, and sometimes it's both of those going on at the same time. That sets our trajectory as to whether or not we want to draw close to God, or if we're afraid, like Adam and Eve were in the garden, and have to run and hide because of our sin and because of the things going on in our lives. We live at the mercy of our ideas, one philosopher said, and so it would be really wise for us to examine our thoughts about God and how we view God and how we picture Him. And this will either encourage us or discourage us to pursue intimacy with Him. So I want us to do that this morning. Do you believe that God wants to relate to you personally? Or do you see God as being, okay, Jason, I'm waiting for you to mess up, because when you mess up, booyah, you know? I'm going to drop the bomb, so to speak. I mean, how do we see God? How do we view Him? When something bad happens in our lives, are we prone to think, all right, what did I do to deserve this? How is God punishing me? Let's just be honest here, okay? Those initial, immediate responses, emotionally, psychologically, what happens when things happen like that? It really says a lot about our view of God. When life goes wrong, is God punishing me? Do I really believe that God's for me? Or do I see Him as being against me? Or someone I'm having to constantly earn His affection and His approval? So what we know about God, is what He has chosen to reveal to us in His Word. Both in the Old Testament, we see a creator God. We see a caring God, a providing God, a God of justice, a God of power, a God that brings freedom. And in the New Testament, we see that same reflection in the person of Jesus Christ. We see that. And we also see there's a lot of mystery about God. We only know what God has chosen to reveal about Himself to us. And so we live in that tension of, God, you've shown me a lot about Yourself, but there's much more. You're so great and glorious that I can't possibly know everything about You. So I also live with this mystery. In the New Testament, God puts on flesh. Emmanuel. God comes to us in the form of a human being. His name is Jesus. God the Father, God the Son. And we get to see Jesus, and we get to see Him do creative miracles. We get to see the power of God and the love of God demonstrated through Him. And I want to suggest to you, as we consider our honest picture of God, I want to make sure that we are looking at Jesus, because Jesus is the ultimate way that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. Every idea and every assumption we have about God should be measured against the person of Jesus Christ. Looking at Jesus and gleaning and gaining, God, who are you? Looking at Jesus, when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we look at Jesus, what he did, how he interacted with the Father, with his friends, the disciples, with unbelievers, with people who were sinners, reprobates. When we see how Jesus responded and reacted to them, we are seeing the Father. Jesus said it himself in John 14. He put it this way, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And then Paul reiterates this in Colossians chapter 1. He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And so when we look at Jesus, that's God. We see God in human form, in flesh. And I love what I see in Jesus, and that's why we need to ask and desire to be more and more and more like Jesus, so that as we go through this world that so desperately needs to know that God is real. He is real. He has come to us. God Emmanuel has come to us in Jesus. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is with us, abiding in us, filling us, overflowing, moving in us and through us, making us more and more like Jesus. And so we love Jesus, and we go and we do his ministry everywhere, and the world is able to see the evidence that there is a God who loves this world. He doesn't hate this world. He loves this world. He loves the people that he created and created for relationship with him through you and through me. Jesus shows us the God who doesn't actually turn away from sinners in disgust, but moves toward us with his restoring presence. And we see that throughout the Gospels in Jesus' interaction with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with sinners, with outsiders, with the sick, with the broken. We see that over and over again. And this is a picture of God the Father in flesh through God the Son, Jesus. We see this. And this is beautifully and powerfully illustrated for us through Jesus' parable of the prodigal son that we see in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, if you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn there with me, I'm going to do an overview. A lot of you, most of us know this parable. This is the story of a rich and wealthy father. He has two sons, and he has one of the sons that he wants to leave home. He wants to rebel against his father. He wants to do his own thing. He's sick of being at home. He doesn't want to continue to be in relationship with his father. He asks for his inheritance, which basically in that time and culture was just like saying, Dad, I'm just as well you being dead. I want your stuff. I don't want relationship with you. I just want your stuff. I'm out of here. And he did, and he left, and he went to a foreign country. And he squandered his wealth, and he found himself living in dire poverty to the point where he's like, you know what? Even my father's slaves and servants have it better than I'm having. I'm going to go back home and not ask to be restored as a son, but simply ask to be a slave or a servant to my father. But what he didn't know was that every day his father, who he had completely disrespected, who he had rebelled against and insulted, was looking and longing for his return every day. Every day, not to welcome him back as a slave or a servant, to give him his due, to give him his just punishment, but to embrace him and to restore him into sonship. And so we see in chapter 15 of Luke, verse 20, the son returns home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with compassion and love, he ran to his son. He ran to his son. In this culture, that was men of this stature didn't do that. They didn't run anywhere. They didn't get into a hurry for anybody or anything. But he laid that aside because of his love and his affection for his father, for his son. He ran to him, he embraced him, and he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he was found. And so the party began. This is the God who calls you and me to intimacy. This is the God who says, I want you to come to me just as you are, not as you want to be, not as you should be, but I invite you to come to me just as you are. Come to me with all your stuff, and I will embrace you. I will embrace you. The Father does this wonderful thing even before he's able to say, Father, I'm sorry. He's embracing him. He is welcoming him. And this is the picture of the God who loves us and desires intimacy with us. He's recklessly in love with us. He's forgiving us before we have a chance to even confess our sins. He is embracing us, putting on the righteousness of Christ, the robes of the righteousness of Christ, before we've even had a chance to take a bath. This is the Father who loves us. This is the Father who desires intimacy with us, who calls us to come just as we are. He runs to us. He embraces us. He kisses us. He is the lover of our souls. And he calls us to care for our souls because he loves us. And I just pray that that just sinks in to all of us. I know that sounds so, it can sound so trite if we let it. But it's not. It's profound. And it should rock our worlds. It should baffle our minds and our hearts. It should confound us. And it's about letting the Holy Spirit remind us and renew us of this powerful reality. And that's where soul care comes into play. Where our hearts aren't dulled. Our hearts are made alive and fresh to the power of the love that our Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has for us and desires to work in us and with us and through us. And so throughout this series, we're going to give some very practical ways to see that happen through some practical habits and practices. I'm going to ask Michelle Bauer. Michelle is our pastor of spiritual formation here at Vineyard Church. And there is a blue insert in your program that Michelle's going to lead you through that has some really good ideas on how we can just really take care of our souls.
Good morning. So we're hearing a very powerful message about how God wants to relate to us personally, about his desire is to be in an intimate relationship with us. And so let's talk a minute about how we can do that, because I want to encourage you, if you're not seeing that just naturally, it's okay. It is a skill to be developed. This is something that we can practice. Looking and listening for God at work in our lives is something that we can get better at and better at as time goes on. Because the truth is that God doesn't want to just connect with us one time a day. He's pleased to meet with us at the time that we have set aside for devotion and prayer and scripture reading. But his real desire is to go with you throughout your day into all of the places that you go and all of the things that you do. But sometimes the days go by so quickly that we miss it, right? Does anybody else fall into bed at night and the day is sort of a blur? And some days you'd rather just think about restarting the next day than thinking about the day you just had? I'm probably not alone in that. And we can look back at our day and we can see the obvious moments where God was at work, the times when we were praying, when we were reading scripture, when we were talking to our children about the Lord. But there are some more subtle ways that he has been wanting to connect with your soul throughout the day, and we might have missed them. So I want to talk to you this morning about something called the prayer of examine. This is an ancient practice with kind of an ancient, funny-sounding name. And I want you to hear examine, not like exam at school, because that can immediately make our blood pressure kind of go whoop, whoop, whoop. I want you to hear it like examination, like when you sit with your doctor once a year for your yearly physical, and they gently look at your body and look at your blood work, and they ask you how things are going, and they're trying to determine your health, what things are working, what things might need some more work, what things might need to be addressed. That's the kind of an examination. We're going to do that with the Lord each day. So in your insert, there are some steps to this prayer. There are lots of forms of it, but this is a really simple way to begin with it. The first thing you're going to do is at the end of your day or at the end of your week, get quiet for a few minutes. Just sort of let the day sort of settle on you. And then you're wanting to review your day, not just yourself. Invite God into that process. Say, God, I'd like to review my day with you. Some people talk about it like God plays a movie in their head of their day. But you're going to think back all the way to when you got up and when you brushed your teeth and when you had breakfast and what was that first interaction of the day like, and how was driving to work and how was getting to work or getting to school? What was my first class like of that day? You're just going to think through your day like that. And as you do, you're going to ask yourself a couple of questions in God's presence. God, where did I feel connected to you today? Where did I feel the fruits of the Spirit coming up in me? Where did I feel love and peace? Where did I feel a sense of your presence with me? At what times of the day, God, was it easy to pray? And then we're going to ask ourselves the opposite question. God, where in my day did I feel disconnected from you? Where in my day did I have that old self just kind of bubble up in me? Where did I feel despair or uncomfortable? Where are those parts of my day? And then we're going to just start to talk to God about what we notice, about the places where we felt connected. We're going to say, thank you, God. Thank you that it happened. Thank you that I'm now seeing it. And for the places where we felt disconnected, we're going to say, okay, God, help me notice what was happening in that moment that severed our connection. There may be some confession involved there, just an increase of self-awareness to try to understand why that moment happened, and in asking God, like, God, I didn't like that moment. I didn't like that moment where all of a sudden I was angry out of nowhere. Would you help me to know what was going on so that we can work in that area together, you and I? And then start to think about tomorrow. Where would you like to feel connected to God in your next day? Where will you need his grace? What's the hard thing that's happening tomorrow where you will love a sense of his close presence with you? And then close with prayer. The Lord's Prayer, just a simple thank you prayer. Anything will work just to close your time out. Now, it's fun to think about our day and the places where we've been connected. That's fun. It kind of makes us go, yeah, something's going right for me here. It's a little less comfortable to think about the places where we felt disconnected. But the good news is that God provides us relational safety. A safety that does not happen in all the relationships of our lives, no matter how great they are, how close they are. There are relationships in our lives that are full-on unsafe. There are some relationships in our lives that are pretty safe, some that are very safe. But there is only one relationship in your life that will be completely safe, and that is with your Savior. So it is okay to come to him and say, I felt more disconnected from you than connected today, God. Let's get to work on that. Would you do something there? Because you are safe. You are safe there. So I invite you, if you take the challenge and start practicing the prayer of examine and stuff starts to stir up in you or you start noticing a trend, as always, we invite you to participate in the listening ministries of our church, in inner healing prayer, in spiritual direction. My contact information is there. Any one of us would love to talk with you. Please take advantage of that.
Thank you, Michelle. I just want to reiterate that thing of this, the safe place that God is. You know, because when we talk about that examination, even not thinking of it as a test at school or at university, but as even a medical exam, well, let's face it, some of us put off going to the doctor because we don't want to hear what they're going to say, right? You need to lose some weight. You need to get that blood pressure down. You know, you're not taking care of yourself. Some of us do that. Some of us, you know, we've got FPU starting this Wednesday night, Financial Peace University. Some of us don't like our financial situation and we want to avoid it. We hate opening bank statements or opening emails from our bank, or, you know, it's just we live in that state of I'd rather not know. I don't want to deal with the reality. And Michelle's right. God is, he, out of his love, out of his care and his kindness, he doesn't come to us in this examine with condemnation, with you should have done this, you should have done that, but with love, and the Holy Spirit desires to meet us there and to help us. And I want to just end today by again, just underscoring who this God is, this picture of God. Some big themes. Some very, very big themes. I could spend the rest of the year listing big themes of God. I want to highlight just a few this morning as we finish up. This is a God who is love. This God who is love, he loves me and you. I've got a number of passages in your notes this morning. Please take some time, if you're not doing something else devotionally this week, please take some time and look at these passages, the context for them, the big pictures of them. Love is God's character. It is his love for us is based on who he is. Again, not on what I do or what you do or what I don't do or what you don't do. And it's really important. I am still learning that. I am still grasping that as someone who's been a follower of Jesus for over 40 years. This truth is still something that I need to continually experience and grow into. And John puts it this way in his letter to the church in 1 John. He said, love comes from God. God is love. We know how much God loves us and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. This is his nature, just like it is the nature of the sun to shine and provide warmth. It is God's nature to love at all times. Now, can we, like getting out of the sun by walking around with an umbrella or by going into our dark room and pulling the shades down and the drapes, closing them, can we get away from the sunlight? Sure, but it's always shining. It's always shining somewhere. And God is always loving. He is always loving. And he wants us, he calls us to live in his love. Like the son who went away from his father, he chose to move away from the father's love, but he ran back and found it waiting for him. The love we see in Jesus, the God we see in Jesus always loves. He's constantly loving. It is his nature. Again, we have the freedom to separate, to choose to separate ourselves from it, but there's no other force that can separate us from God's love. His love is constant. His love is sure. His love is good. God, who is love, he loves us. And God, who is good, delights in sharing his goodness with you and me. He is a good God. He is good all the time. Regardless of what we might find ourselves going through, God is good. He's always good. He's good all the time. He is a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, James tells us. And we see in the Psalms just the goodness of God reiterated over and over again. In Psalm 100, the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. And the Lord is merciful and compassionate in Psalm 145. Slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to whom? To everyone. The Lord is good to everyone. It doesn't say the Lord is good to those who just, you know, keep their noses clean, who are acting like they should, who are doing the right thing. God says in his word, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. On all his creation. So this is a God who is good and longs to show his goodness to all of us. This is the God who created us. He created us, he loves us, and he is for us. He's for us. And I realize this sounds so elementary, but let's face it, some of us didn't do well in this spiritual elementary school, did we? We got it wrong. We had this idea that we have to earn God's love and that we have to sustain some level of morality or behavioral correctness for us to be able to live in God's love. Now, am I dissing morality? Am I dissing good behavior? No, it should be an outflow of a life lived in love to God and live in loving response to God. But we don't earn God's love. His love is always there, and we have to receive his love and live in his love. He is for us. Exodus 14 is the chapter in the Old Testament where God is delivering the children of Israel out of the slavery in Egypt. And in that, they've been released after all the plagues. Pharaoh decided to let them go, just get them out of here. Moses is leading them, and they're out in the desert, and they know that there's a sea in front of them. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a change of heart. What have I done? This was stupid. Let's get them back here. Who's going to make the bricks? Who are going to be our slaves and our servants? And he sends the Egyptian armies after the children of Israel, and they are freaking out. They're freaking out. They're like, why did we even leave? We shouldn't have left. This was a big mistake. They feel the crunch. They feel the pinch. And we see Moses answering the people in their frustration and their anxiety in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. And I really believe that there are people here this morning that really need to hear this promise of God. Moses answered the people and he said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. Ray, you're not going to have to fight this fight on your own. In fact, I'm going to fight it for you. What is your job? Be still and let God do what God wants and needs to do, because he is for you. He's for you. He's for us. Again, this is the God who desires intimate relationship with us. This is the God who desires to send his Spirit to show us our hearts, the good that's in them, and those things that are not as they should be, and that we can listen and let him in, and we don't have to be afraid because he is for us. He is not against us. He is the God who created us for intimate relationship, and he never stops desiring that intimate relationship with us. He never, ever stops. No matter how far away we go, no matter how depraved our life might become, he never stops, just like the father that we see in Luke chapter 15 in the parable of the prodigal son. He never desires stops desiring to see and have intimate relationship with the son. Isaiah 30:18 says this: "The Lord longs to be gracious to you." It's not just something that, all right, I really don't want to do this, but I will anyway. That is not the Father's heart. The Father's heart, there is a longing to show you and me grace and mercy. And therefore, he will rise up to show us compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Blessed are all who wait for him. This morning, as we go into ministry time, I want to invite you. There are a lot of different ministry responses that we'll have. We'll have our ministry team up who will be available to pray for you, to pray with you. That might be an option for you this morning. I want us just to leave up the prodigal son, the Rembrandt painting of the Return of the Prodigal Son. And I think one of the things that I want to invite you to also do this morning is just to see yourself in this. Or maybe for you it's better, you're more about words. Just to maybe close your eyes and reflect on Luke 15, and that you are the prodigal son who's gone away, and that you're realizing that I need to go home. I want this relationship. I'm better off at home. I want to go home, and I want you to see the Father running to you and me, not to have to go get a bath before I touch you. No. But as we are, He embraces us and He welcomes us. He runs toward us. This is the God. This is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who wants to have relationship with us, who calls us into intimacy. This is the God that we can afford to be completely transparent and open with. We're going to talk more about that next week. And I also, just as we are, let's stand together, as we are considering the ministry this morning, I want to go back to that passage in Exodus, because I know that a number of you are really fighting some difficult things right now. You're fighting some really tough stuff, and I want to let this be a rhema, fresh word of the Lord for you today, okay? The Lord will fight for you. What is your job? What is my job? We need only to be still. To be still and let God do what he wants to do this morning. So I just invite you to bow your heads. Worship ministry team, if you guys want to come on up, worship team. Invite those who are available to pray this morning on our ministry teams. If you guys would come up this morning, that would be awesome. And just everyone else, I just want to just pray over you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Come, Lord. Come, bring your kingdom, Lord. Lord, give us that right view of who you are. Lord, come against any thought that is contrary to the truth of who you are and who you desire us to know you as. Holy Spirit, come and bring healing. Set things right. Set things right, Lord, regarding our view of you. Come, Holy Spirit, and come against fear. Lord, let your perfect love just invade us. Let it fill us and displace fear. Fear and any notion that would keep us distant from you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I ask that for those of us who are going through a difficult time when we feel pressed, and you're calling us to trust you, that you will fight for us, that we need only to be still. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just show us what that looks like. What that looks like right now, Lord. And what our response needs to be in that thing of being still in you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work in us, we pray. Bring your healing, bring your love, bring your salvation, bring the forgiveness of sins. Draw us nearer to your heart, we pray, in Jesus' name.